Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
Monday. Thanks for being here. Another exciting week is here, and we're starting this one off with an hour with Michael Harrison from Talkers Magazine. Michael joins us from time to time for exciting conversations, and we're going to have one right now, if you don't mind, Michael.
I don't mind at all. I look forward to this. It's always fun to talk to you, and it's always great to be with the listeners of WTIC, one of, if not my favorite radio stations of all time.
One of, if not.
Right. It's either one of my favorite, or it might even be my favorite.
Oh, it might even be. Wow, that's awesome.
I have a wonderful history with the station and the community, and I live in the area, and, you know, the whole thing has just been very nice. So when I come back on every now and then to talk to you, one of my favorite, if not my favorite, radio personalities in the world and friends.
Now you're doubling down on the malarkey. So I wanted to play you a little piece, a cut, just to get things started here, from Tucker Carlson on the podcast of Joe Rogan last week. And right off the bat, as it turns out, they talked about what do they call them now? UAPs? Is that the expression?
Yeah. Unidentified aerial phenomenon.
Why do they change the name after we learn?
Because it? UFO has bad rap for being the land of the woo-woo and the crazy.
Oh, yeah, like cardboard going through black and white sky.
Yeah, but, so
before
so they
the
came
color
up with
era.
UAP, so, which is unidentified aerial phenomenon. But people are not quite sure to say UAP or UAPs, the plural. So,
right.
And then you have to know whether the word phenomenon and phenomena, you know, it's very confusing, but it's basically the same thing. It's things in the sky that we don't know what it is.
They're walking us down a very difficult path already. All right, here's a little cut of Tucker Carlson describing his, I guess, his welcoming into this world of thinking about UAPs.
There's enough going on in the skies, but not just the skies, underwater, that the U.S. military has been forced to respond to it. So, like, move aircraft from one place to another because there are too many of these objects in the sky. That's actually happened. Chris Mellon just wrote a long piece about it. So it's real. The government is not controlling it. In fact, it's forcing the government, DOD, to respond. And we know that there is a real effort, and has been underway for a long time, to keep the public from knowing about it. But
all right, so he's describing a secret that's been kept from us, mm-hmm. but that is clearly a thing that's a dynamic that isn't originating with our government, but coming from somewhere. And later he describes how it's not coming from space. It's not coming. We monitor our skies, he says, and we know there's nothing coming in or out from other planets. So it's It's supernatural, he says. But he says these phenomena are real. Now, this is hard for me. I'm a literal guy. I have trouble grasping this. Can you explain how to think about it?
Well, if you're a literal guy, you're going to have a lot of problem with science in general, because science itself has gone into the bizarre in terms of things we have found out that just absolutely defies our intuition.
But you're saying they're factual things that have to come to terms with.
Exactly. So being a person whose feet are planted on the ground and you know, I believe it if I see it, you know, that doesn't work anymore in the world of science. And I'm not talking about the crazies. I'm talking about the establishment. But that being said, now you're dealing with Tucker Carlson. And the premise that he makes, he draws some conclusions there that these are real. The government has been drawn into it. The government has nothing to do with it. And we know that it doesn't come from outer space, that it comes from a terrestrial source. Mm-hmm. These are a lot of assumptions. So before we go and we accept Tucker Carlson's premise as being, you know, true, you have to look at where it comes from.
So we don't have to take this leap from his with faith from him.
Exactly. You know, and I may be offending some of his fans who are listening. I'm not knocking him. I'm just simply saying I don't at this point necessarily believe, and I say that, you know, believe in anything that anybody says, let alone the government, let alone the scientists, and let alone Tucker Carlson. That being said, there is a lot of interesting stuff happening out there. And whether you want to call them UFOs or UAPs, There are sightings. There are things flying around. And on one level, it's frustrating because we can't really get a good picture of it. Here we can get pictures of everybody on every seat and every street, rather, in every city with the surveillance we have. Everybody's got a camera in their hand, in their pocket with their smartphone. And we still just get these blurry images. So that bothers me. But they could be of terrestrial origin. They could be from foreign countries doing experimentation with different kinds of vehicles. They could be United States government vehicles being tested out. As
some
to whether the
high
government
tech
is trying to
that
keep it from the people, I don't know.
Some technology that's been developed in secret by our government or another one on the planet, I guess, could be doing some of this stuff. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. But I do agree that it is most likely, I personally believe, I use that word believe again because I don't really know, but I believe that they are not aliens from other worlds. And that's not because I don't believe that there's life out there. I don't believe that if there is life out there and they go to all the trouble and they have all the wherewithal to be able to make it across the expanse of space to come to our planet, that they're not driving around in things that are anything like airplanes.
They would stop for coffee, right?
What was that?
They would stop for coffee and chat, wouldn't they?
Exactly.
You're saying that the things that we see. See, I watched some of these videos online, like this guy Chris Mellon, who I used to work in intelligence, and now is putting out videos and acting as kind of an online sorter of this information. He was showing these videos that have been released in the last couple of years, and you see these weird things, but you can't really tell what you're looking at.
Exactly. They go boom. They go spinning by. They're shadowy. They're cylindrical or they're saucer-like. I mean, the whole idea of flying saucers is something that was created in Hollywood, way, 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 way back. If you're looking at ancient texts in the Bible and things of that nature, when things came out of the sky, they were described as chariots because that was the technology of the day. So they would call them chariots. We see chariots up there. Now we see cylindrical flying objects, which are very much like airplanes or spaceships. But it's just so unlikely that they are aliens from another world. But that doesn't mean that there may not be aliens in another world, and it doesn't mean they're not here. They just are not flying around playing chicken with, you know, jet fighters. It's just not likely. It's more likely, and there's so many theories on this, that they come from another dimension, that there are parallel universes that are right next door to us, the way an old record albums, the grooves would be right next to each other, but would be a whole spin away.
It's kind of the time travel thing, where if you could just hop into the technology, you would be able to jump.
It's kind of a time travel thing, but it isn't necessarily time travel. Mm-hmm. Interdimensional philosophy, it really plays games with your head, because we're not wired to think in anything but our usual 3D.
Our perception of the world and the way it operates doesn't include the idea that there are invisible creatures living alongside us.
Exactly.
But that doesn't mean that it isn't just there beyond our reach, we think, because we don't have a perception, a sense.
Well, look
that
at radio.
Gives us the information.
Okay, look at the AM radio dial. Mm-hmm. WTIC is at 1080. You know, 1,080, you know, something hertz.
Maybe that's how many aliens are there.
No, but if you turn the dial a little bit, all of a sudden, and you get another station mm-hmm. on the same device.
Yep.
It's right there next to it.
So it's a real thing that's out there in the environment, and we have no awareness of it, except because we have radios.
And because one thing we do know, and this goes back to what I said earlier about what we're learning in science is mind-boggling, is that everything is vibrations. Everything is frequency. This whole thing about string theory, for example, is that if you go down to the basic fundamental units of reality, that they don't exist. They're just little loops of energy that we call strings, mm-hmm. and how they vibrate creates the matter, creates the reality, just like the vibrations of the strings in an orchestra create music.
So the more we learn, the more we don't know.
Exactly.
And we're on a path. So I want to explore this further because it's fascinating. I love knowing a little bit what we don't know. Michael Harrison is here, and he loves teaching us that. So we've got a compatible sort of dynamic going on here. And we're going to take a quick break and then talk more with Michael. Stay with us on WTIC.
Never miss a moment. Go listen to the Todd Feinberg podcast on the Odyssey app.
WTIC, Michael Harrison is here. So, Michael, this is all fascinating. I feel like I've got a lot to come to terms with to really understand what the UFO phenomena of today is, because it does seem more complicated, and it does seem... Well, you said that the more likely explanation than creatures from outer space coming to Earth is the idea that there are creatures living amongst us, that there are other planes of reality sharing the space with us on the radio dial, kind of.
Yeah, I didn't say that that's the most likely explanation. That is a plausible explanation. Mm-hmm. The most likely explanation is that they are earthly, they're of this dimension, they're creatures called humans, their technology is either American technology, Chinese technology, Russian technology, that's probably what's going on. It's probably okay. More in the world of spying and espionage than it is, and secrecy than it is anything else.
And how
about, if it is supernatural, it's from another dimension, more likely from another planet or galaxy.
And what does that mean exactly? Explain the supernatural thing, because Tucker Carlson was also discussing that with Joe Rogan, and I found it just fascinating because in the vernacular of real life, that's never been an explanation that I've heard in a serious way. It's always been about ghosts and spirits and stuff.
Well, what's the difference?
Well, because it's just portrayed, you know, like Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Yeah, well, maybe Casper the Friendly Ghost does exist. It's Casper the Friendly Interdimensional Being. It is the word is plausible. Uh-huh. And I did not hear the conversation between Rogan and Tucker Carlson that you're describing. So none of this information that I'm giving you or the feedback I'm giving you
is a feedback to them.
It's my own opinions.
Yeah.
And I study this constantly. Mm-hmm. I am as interested in astrophysics and all of this type of science as I am in radio and music and news and politics. As a matter of fact, they're related. You know, we're talking
it all fits
about something
together
that's related to politics.
Yeah.
Certainly we want to know if the Chinese are conducting tests of advanced technology over our skies.
All right, let me just play you another soundbite, and you react to this.
In general, no, they can't control these objects.
He's talking about the U.S. government.
In general, no, they can't control these objects. So, no, it's not American technology.
Well,
or Russian or Chinese. It predates, you know, all of that.
Well, some of it does, right? Like, for sure, the Kenneth Arnold sightings, that was really early on. That was like the early 1950s. He was seeing these flying saucers, these discs that were moving over mountains.
Well, right. I mean, the prophet Ezekiel writes about it, right, in the first chapter, Wheels in the Sky.
Yeah, that's a crazy one.
So it's bizarre what they're talking about. But
well, again, you're making the assumption that Tucker Carlson is right, that the United States government can't control this.
Well,
how does he know?
I that's what I want you to clarify, because he's so sure of himself the way he discusses it.
That's what makes guys like Tucker Carlson successful, is they're so darn sure of themselves, aren't they?
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Yeah,
but at the same time,
I'm not sure of anything. Not because I'm not sure of myself. I'm sure of myself as much as anybody else out there.
But you're skeptical of things that haven't actually been proven. And his business is to jump to the conclusion that might not be the logical one in order to entertain.
And to appeal to people who want to believe that.
Mm-hmm.
It's called targeting your audience and affirming their beliefs. It's a whole different game in the media. It's a legitimate game. I mean, you know, it's commerce.
It's entertainment. It's
rating. Once you worry about ratings, whether you have a Facebook page or you're worrying how many people are following you on Twitter or how many people are subscribing to
your YouTube
channel.
Once you're trying to win the metrics, you mean?
Huh?
When you're trying to win the metrics.
Yeah. Then you have already begun to go down the road of corruption. Corruption doesn't mean you're a crook or a criminal. It means you're not necessarily speaking your
being
truth.
Honest. Yeah. So this is to be discarded, except what's the exception for just
this,
saying?
I think this is fascinating stuff. I think I'm glad you brought this up. We should want to know if there's any espionage going on or spies in the sky from China. We certainly know that they are trying to do whatever they can to, you know, hack into our intelligence. Scientifically, this is a golden age of science. We're discovering stuff every single day that's rewriting the textbooks.
And that is hard for us to grasp, that is stepping outside the lines.
And the more we learn, the harder it is, to use a cliche, but it really is apt, the harder it is to wrap our brains around it.
All right. Can you tell us any things like that?
Well, I could tell you that they've been walking around thinking that the universe is 13.8 billion years old, and it started with a big bang.
Mm-hmm.
And almost every scientist who has any kind of standing in the establishment has stood by that as if it's fact. And now with the new James Webb Space Telescope that I told you about a year ago,
yep,
was going to change
you
everything.
You were very excited about it.
It's changing everything.
So they can see light coming from time distances that are further away than these 13 billion years?
A lot further away.
And that means that whenever this Big Bang happened, if that was the start of the universe,
or may not have ever happened, and therefore the premise that the universe is expanding may not be true. Because they base the expansion of the universe on a couple of things that might just be optical illusions, just as when in the early days people thought the Earth was flat because it appeared to be.
Mm.
I mean, it was common sense. Of course the Earth is flat.
Because you could look at it and you could see it.
Yeah, you know, it looked flat. Well, they have a thing called redshift, and they think that anything that is red is moving away from us. It's the Doppler effect. And they find a lot of galaxies are getting redder and redder the further they are. That means
that's,
they're moving away from us.
That's good.
Faster.
So they're on a learning curve. We're going to pause for a news update. Michael Harrison is here from Talkers Magazine, talkers.com. We'll talk more about this stuff, also about the music business, coming up on WTI.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Why wait? Come on. Oh, come on, why wait? You can rant right now at 860-751-4698 on the Todd Feinberg Show.
WTIC, a Monday afternoon. We're talking to Michael Harrison this hour from Talkers Magazine. And what else can you tell us about UFOs and unusual phenomena, Michael, before we move
on? First of all, most of what I said was that there are not visitors from other planets coming here and being mistaken for UFOs or UAPs. That doesn't mean that there aren't aliens out there. Mm-hmm. Most people in the scientific community, most scientists, most established scientific thinkers believe it's almost impossible that there are not aliens.
Because the universe goes on indefinitely, and
it might.
So it's a numerical probability that there would be other life somewhere. The question is, are they close enough to make contact?
That's the big question. The big question is, and they call it the Fermi paradox. Enrico Fermi, a great scientist, asked the question, if there's so many planets out there that are like Earth, and there are billions like Earth, and the universe has been around for so long, where are the aliens? How come we don't see them? How come mm-hmm. we don't contact them? But then you stop and you think about it, the fact that the closest exoplanet, the closest star to our sun, is 4.5 light years away. If we were to start flying there at the fastest speed that we have right now, it would take 80,000 years to get to the closest exoplanet.
Okay, 80,000 so that's years. Longer than I'm even planning on living.
I mean, can you imagine? So one of the hottest topics in the world of all of us science geeks is the Fermi paradox. If there's so much probability that the universe is teeming with life and thus intelligent life because it happened here on Earth, and the things that happened on Earth are not miraculous. The same elements make up the whole universe, the same processes. Mm-hmm. There are Earths all over the place. Where are they? And there are hundreds of theories as to why we haven't found any aliens yet. And they're really interesting. I'm not going to get into that now, but they're fascinating stuff.
All right.
YouTube is full of it, you know.
Yeah. Well, your job is to sort through it for us and report the best ones. Because we can't watch all those YouTube.
I never thought I'd become a science reporter.
So, Michael, you're also a music reporter because your background really is in radio, but also the music industry and covering that industry and covering artists from back in the 60s. And we're in this new era of music not being driven by the sales of 45 singles and hit singles and albums that are physical things that you carry around. There's no more CDs to speak of. It's much more about downloads of songs, and that makes the songs not a good way to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
And so how does somebody like Taylor Swift, who is a ridiculously dominant force in pop culture and the music business and radio and the sale of whatever it is people buy now when they buy music. Tell us how all that works for her, because she's got a new release out that turned into two new releases.
Yeah, she has so many platforms, and she has so much going for her right now. And she is such a giant compared to all the other musical artists in the world that she's her own category. You know, when the Beatles broke, they were the last phenomenon of this nature. They sparked a thing called the British Invasion. And there were hundreds of groups that followed and artists that were of that style, and the marketplace expanded. Taylor Swift is just one big oxygen suck. She's in the gossip pages with her boyfriend, who's on the world champion football team.
Yeah,
she's
hard to
got
believe.
A worldwide tour that we've never seen anything like it. It has spawned a motion picture. And she has something like 11 albums, and the new one just came out, and it's 16 songs on the album at a time when most musical artists are lucky if they could put out one or two tracks and find anybody interested in it. The day of the album rock radio and album rockers, groups like Steely Dan, Supertramp, the Doobie Brothers, the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, the Moody Blues, the Grateful Dead, they would come out with, you know, Joni Mitchell, the Simon and Garfunkel, they'd come out with albums, and people would listen to all the, you know, 12 tracks or whatever, and talk about what the new period that they're in, you know, like,
oh,
Picasso's
yeah, every
blue
little
period.
Vibration that the needle would go through.
Right, right. And today, you know, they come and they go, they come and they go, and then there's Taylor Swift. And one of the interesting things right now about Taylor Swift, and that she has an album in the era when we have just single tracks and you can't buy them on anything, there's no material thing. CDs are now, you know, obsolete, which is an amazing circumstance. She is now facing Taylor Swift fatigue. People are wondering whether or not, they're wondering because we're talking about it, so she's still out there, whether or not her fans are getting tired of her or there's just too much of her. And I understand, and there's this big article in the New York Times about it, and many other places are writing about it, where people care about this kind of thing. I have to admit, I don't care about it as much as I used to. But among people who care about this type of thing, social phenomenon, pop culture, a lot of young women are having to apologize or hide the fact that they're getting tired of her because it's politically incorrect within those circles to utter a bad word about Taylor.
Yes, I can understand that, because people are so in love with her. Women of various ages, because when they were young, they were all about Taylor Swift. And even if they've outgrown her music, they haven't outgrown the nostalgia.
That's true. And it is a phenomenon. It is up there with the Beatles. I just don't know if it has musicological consequences the way
yes.
the Beatles did.
Yes. The Beatles were always rooted in their creativity and what they were making for music.
And they changed.
And they did. They evolved. And Taylor Swift, there's a sameness to it, and I think a kind of thinness to it from my perspective. Not that I've heard much of her music, but I've experimented with listening. I don't really hear anything going on.
Yeah. I'm going to brave the odds and say I agree with you. And, you know, I may eventually regret having said that as time goes by and people realize that this was the greatest musical leap forward in the history of music. But it just seems to me that it's there's not a lot of substance there.
What's significant about it more is its positioning, because she's the first superstar of her nature, I think, of any sex. But that she's also writing about the lives of people who haven't had their lives represented in the music industry so much.
Maybe so. Most of her songs deal with breakups.
Yes, and personal travails, like a breakup with her record company or them screwing her on her contract, which is kind of standard fare, but new for that audience and such.
Yeah. But if you look back at the teenage love songs that dominated pop music when we were kids and when our kids were kids, okay, they were silly love songs. Paul McCartney once wrote a song called Silly Love Songs. We take them as classics. I mean, we don't stop when we hear Neil Sedaka saying I'm in love with the calendar girl, or Happy Birthday, Sweet 16, or You're 16, You're Beautiful, and You're Mine, or Johnny Angel, How I Love Him, and I'm Only Hoping He'll Love Me. These songs are ridiculous. They're
because stupid. Why are they ridiculous?
Because they're juvenile. They're when I say ridiculous, I don't mean they don't have a place, but they, for people who were 50, 60, 70 years old, to listen to them and not listen to it critically because it's so embedded in their minds as being the foundation upon which their entire lives and pop culture is built, they don't listen to it that way. They hear it as a classic.
Yeah.
But there's
excuse me, but I want to just shift the direction because the time goes by so fast. But I'm not so much interested in Taylor Swift and her career as I am in after her, after the space that she takes up, what's left for anybody else? And how do you actually make a live if there are no physical things that get sold anymore? How do people in the business make money? I thought this era was going to be good for
the
musicians.
Theory is
because
that you make it in streaming and downloads. That of course, YouTube is the great robber of everybody, in as much as a lot of things are just gotten for free off of YouTube. Mm-hmm. But there is an algorithm, there is a formula by which if you get enough views on YouTube or Spotify or any of the current ways in which music is distributed discovered, because it certainly isn't radio anymore, and I'm going to get a lot of heat from my colleagues in the business for saying that, but it's true. The only way to make money in the music business today is to hope that you have a gigantic smash in terms of downloads and streams on the internet. And the amount of money that's paid for that is far less than artists used to get proportionate to the dollars over the counter.
They get fractions of pennies, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's peanuts.
But I do this thing where I'll put on a streaming mix of music based on somebody famous. And then I will hear a song I don't recognize the artist for. I ask what the name of the artist is. And then I reorder the mix based on the unknown artist instead of the big star artist, because I'm trying to spread the money around. Am I helping them at all, do you think?
Wow, what an enlightened consumer you are.
Well, I hate the idea of three people making all the money. Oh, we've got to take a quick break. Michael Harrison is here. We're talking about the music business and what Taylor Swift has done to it. Stay with us for a moment, and we'll talk more coming up on WTIC.
Never miss a moment. Go listen to the Todd Feinberg podcast on the Odyssey app.
Thanks for being here on WTIC. Continuing our conversation with Michael Harrison from Talkers Magazine at talkers.com. I spoke before we took that break, and did you have something you wanted to say in reaction?
I don't remember what you said.
Neither do I. I was hoping you might recall and be able to fill me in. Maybe I'd
yes,
said
I do
something
remember, actually. I was going to call you a socialist. you said that you don't like to spend money on just one artist, and it bothers you to a certain degree that Taylor Swift is sucking up all the marketplace dollars out there for other artists.
Or whomever is sucking it all up.
Yeah. That's an interesting point. I had mentioned earlier that other phenomenons in the past sort of expanded the marketplace, created opportunities and inspiration for new artists and other musical forces to take root. And I don't see that necessarily happening with Taylor Swift. But she's gigantic. I had mentioned before that the way to make money in the music business is to stream your songs across Spotify and Apple and Amazon and YouTube and all that. And she's breaking all kinds of records right now with her records. So she's the real deal, but it's not quite the same as her predecessors who have been the big deal in the past.
But that's a problem for us, isn't it? If she's basically squelching opportunities for others because she is the music industry all by herself, how do we get new material created that we want to hear?
We have to have consumers that are hungry for information and for new sounds. We have to have vehicles of music discovery, and we have to have people out there who play the role that the DJs used to play, of being the people that turned you on to stuff, the people who were the aggregators, like people at museums, you know, who put together
displays. Yeah, that's interesting. Curators who put together the packages, and we respect their taste, so we listen to what they suggest.
You know, look at the role of the critic. The role of the critic, whether it's movies, whether it's books, whether it's music, has been severely diminished as everybody is a critic now. Everybody has 2 cents. Everybody has a podcast and a, you know, a Substack column and a way to express their view. We don't have those individuals who raised criticism of the arts to an art.
But it's funny because one of the things I certainly after 6 o'clock, what I search the most is best thing to watch on Netflix or Apple Plus or whatever, because there's so much material packed into under one umbrella that you know there's great stuff there, but you can't find it because there's so much junk that it's packed in there with.
Yeah. The multitude of choices has made it very difficult for any one thing to stand out. It's a very noisy world. Add to that attention deficit disorder. it's very hard to get what we call in the media traction. It's very hard to grow an idea and to grow a product. People move on. Mm-hmm. And I think Taylor Swift has moved along a very long time. Considering that, we'll see how it plays out for her in the next year or two or three.
But, and how about who's? Are there any hidden lucky people who that you know of who have found some way to really put their careers into a good place? Maybe they're not big stars, but they make a good living because they've got a bit of a reputation or.
Yeah, because they build their followings person by person. I call it building it brick by brick. Mm-hmm. They're not flooding the market and having all these unknown fans out there that become nothing but statistics through social media, through concerts, and through just talking to people on their platforms. They actually are building audiences that are loyal to them, much smaller than the Dave Clark Five may have had or Frank Sinatra had. But they have a more intimate relationship with their audiences, and they bring on people one at a time, and they'll go into a community and they'll sell out a place with 500 people, and they'll sell them products and T-shirts.
And they're entrepreneurs.
And cups. Yeah, it's businesses.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's the way it goes today, and but let's face it, there are other things that motivate the young. You know, again, when I say you and I in our day and in the day of most of the people listening to this, not that the audience is old, but mature people listen to this. Kids are not listening to talk radio. I wish they were, but they're not on the level that older people are. So when we were all young, music, pop music was a major foundation upon which we built our lives. That was our culture.
Yes.
Today, the kids have a very different culture, and music itself doesn't play the same role that it played.
Music doesn't dominate that culture. It has a little slice of it.
Exactly.
Oh, that's very interesting.
I think that the gaming industry is more in touch with the popular culture of young people than the music industry.
Talk about a generation gap. That's one right there. Yeah. All right, we've got to wrap up. Michael Harrison, Talkers Magazine. It's always fun to do this, Michael. I appreciate you taking the time.
Great time. Thank you, Todd. Keep it up.
All right. We'll talk to you again soon. Michael Harrison, Talkers Magazine. Go to talkers.com and read up. And next hour, we're open to start off the hour. So if you have any thoughts or questions you want to raise for people, give us a call, 860-522-9842. Mark Christopher in the BPS Lawyers Traffic Center. He's got his eye on the highway. What's going on, Mark?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Be
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.